Welcome to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders who impact our community. Now, the recipient of three First Place Virginia Association of Broadcasters Awards and the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to introduce you this morning to the Fairy Godmother Project. They are in this area. Andy McConnell is here with the Fairy Godmother Project. Andy, good to have you here. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me, Ted.
This, well, let's start right off and just talk about what the Fairy Godmother Project is, because I have for a few years heard about you and heard about some of the good things you do, but never really had a real good idea of what you do. Talk about what you do.
Okay, we support families in the community with pediatric cancer, and our real focus is the parents or the caregiver. Our goal is to support them so that they can better support the children. So what we do is meals, lawn care, house cleaning, financial relief, and emotional support. Each family is assigned a volunteer who is their person, and that person checks in on them, tells them when they're getting services, and is just there if they need anything extra.
Boy, and that, to have that same person have a person that knows you and gets to know you, that's a huge thing, because so often when families get into this and you're dealing with so many different things and you're dealing with different people all the time with insurance or for at the hospital or this or that, to have somebody that you know and knows you is a big help.
It is, and I think it's also valuable because it's a person they don't know to start. So it's not somebody that's struggling with the idea that this child has cancer. It's a new person to their lives and a new person to their families. So in a lot of ways, that person brings something different than maybe a friend who's grieving the idea that this child is facing this, that there's a big change in their family. So I think the way that we're set up really is very helpful.
Yeah, you can look at it and you know they have an idea and can kind of direct you,
yes.
Kind of not emotionally, at least at first.
At first, right. That's the key at first, yeah. But often the families and the lead volunteers do develop a really nice relationship and grow pretty close.
So, oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
and
that's really nice.
That would be the thing. I mean, I would think that person almost becomes part of the family.
Sometimes, yes. It really, but what I always tell our volunteers is to look at it, to respect what the family wants. So if the family is open to a close relationship, then it happens. But if the family is not, then it doesn't. So it's really sort of up to the families what they're looking for. And we have some really wonderful friendships that have developed over the years. I have personally many, many wonderful friends from being involved. So it's really helpful.
Do you have a need for volunteers?
Always, always have a need for volunteers. From everything from helping the families directly to helping us with fundraising, and we also have meal-making events every month, and those are always things that are open to the public to come. We do those at Fredericksburg United Methodist Church. And then, really, right now, we are starting a new program that will help families at end of life and into some support, bereavement support, so we will definitely need volunteers, you know, during those times.
Boy, special people to be volunteers in these kind of situations.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting is the people that we have stay with us, and we have this amazing group of people who have grown to be really good friends. We all support each other. We all support the families, but everybody knows each other. If there's a loss, one of our families loses a child, everyone comes together to support each other. It's really, really a nice community that's been established.
A lot of training involved in becoming a volunteer?
We do a basic training, and then recently when we had, in January, one of our families, the daughter was losing her battle to cancer. And so I did one-on-one with each volunteer that was going to be going into the home. So I wanted to make sure that they were aware of what that looked like. You know, it isn't your typical volunteer position. You're going into a home, child's in hospice, they're in a hospital bed in the living room or the dining room or wherever it is, and just making sure that they were ready and prepared for what that looked like. And our expectations are very much, we don't give opinions. That's not our job. You know, our job is to be there to listen. It's there to, you know, come in and maybe wash the dishes, come in and clean out the refrigerator, whatever it is. But our job is not to tell the family what they should be doing. We're just there to listen. And that's really very important, in my opinion, because they already have enough people giving them opinions. And it's not our place as an organization.
I know that when in the early 2000s, when my family, when we were dealing with my son who had leukemia, one of the greatest things were some friends every now and then when we would be down in Richmond at the hospital would come in on a Sunday afternoon and clean the house. Mm, and yes. You'd come back and you said, just do the dishes. Just those kind of things. Mm-hmm. They went to the store and when they cleaned up things, if they saw we were low on bread or milk or something. And right. That was such a huge, huge thing.
It is huge. And it's one of those things people often say, well, let me know if you need anything. But these families can't get their heads around that. Yeah. And you know that from your experience. You can't think, oh, well, let me put together a quick list for you.
Yeah.
And then we'll go ahead with it. It doesn't work that way. So that's why we say, okay, you're getting meals these days this week. Your lawn is going to be done on this day. The cleaning's happening this day. It's like, it's optional, but it's not. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of times our families try and say, no, 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 I really don't need the help. I really don't need the help. And then finally they say, I really need the help. So I can sort of push a little bit with our families because I know that they'll appreciate it once it happens. So.
It is because a lot of times I can remember you're sitting down in Richmond at MCV and you know you're going to be there for the weekend and all of a sudden you're thinking, like you say, there's the lawn to be done or – the trash is starting to pile up. I need to have somebody do that. Mm-hmm. And it's a stress. It's a stress on top of stress.
Exactly. And one of the things, we have a family whose daughter was named Jordan, and she passed away almost 2 years ago. And one of the things, her mom and dad really did not want our services. I had friends calling me saying, you have to help them. And they kept thinking it was about finances. And finally, she said, fine. You can come in. You can do all these things. And afterwards, she said to me, I realized it wasn't about that. It was about giving them time. And one of the things we say now is give the gift of time. And it's because of this mom, Kim, because she got time with her daughter that was limited. And she got that time because she didn't have to clean the house. She didn't have to mow the lawn. Instead, she could sit with Jordan and spend time with her and play with her in her last few years.
Yeah.
So it was really valuable.
And I guess, as far as volunteers go, if someone wants to volunteer and they know that they don't have the personality or that they can't be on the front line to get close to the family, but they can do the lawn or they can wash the car.
They can do lots of different things. And that's one thing I always say to people when they express an interest is I always say, just tell me your skills. I will put those skills to work. It doesn't matter what they are, even if it's as simple as running to the post office. I mean, there's so many things you can do. Mailing things for our families, dropping things off for the families. You don't want to see the families, face-to-face. That's okay. We can definitely put anybody to work. I mean, really, I can put anyone to work. And then what I often do, for example, we have a wonderful group that does our fundraising. We have a fundraising committee. And, some of those people are not comfortable going in and asking for donations. But they're very – like one woman that I have, she's phenomenal at keeping us on track. So she's essentially the drill sergeant in every single meeting. She makes the agenda and she keeps us on task. And, trying to find everyone's skills and use them so that they're – beneficial to us as an organization.
If someone's interested in volunteering, do they just go to your website?
Yeah, go to the website. Yep. On the website, there's the application. And once they fill out the application, our volunteer coordinator, her name is Helen Jarrett, will get right back to them and let them know the next steps. Any of our volunteers that do see our families have to have a background check, have to have references. So it is not an immediate turnaround. And then we also require that they prove their commitment to our organization before they actually have any face-to-face because it's very important these families – sometimes people are interested in getting involved, not for the wrong reasons, but for different reasons. And we want to make sure that the people that actually interface with our families are very committed and understand the privacy that's involved with it. They understand that this isn't something that they leave meeting with a family and talk about it. It's our family story to tell. It's not our family's our story.
Yep.
So that's really important. So, usually the people that do volunteer with the families have been with us for quite a while.
FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. FairyGodmotherProject.org. And you have a terrific Facebook page that is really up to date and has all kinds of good pictures and stories and information. You mentioned fundraising. The Community Give is tomorrow. You're involved.
We sure are.
You already won an award. We'll talk about that and talk about the Community Give and how people can get involved with that. Andy McConnell here. It's the Fairy Godmother Project. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about the Fairy Godmother Project this morning with Andy McConnell. Andy, how did you get involved in doing this?
Well, about, I guess it was in 2003, I lived down the street from somebody who had a child who had survived brain cancer. And the mom talked a lot about the loneliness of it, and that all of their friends rallied in the beginning and then disappeared. And it came up in a lot, and it had been years since the child had been through treatment. It just sort of stuck with me. And then I relocated in 2007 to Fredericksburg, mm-hmm. and I have twins, and I had my girls that year, and then we were in a twin mom group, and one of the moms in the group, her daughter was diagnosed with a rare form of brain cancer at 22 months old, and I, you know, kept hearing those words of my friend that how lonely it had been. So I thought, well, I don't know this woman well, but maybe I can sort of stick it out and help her out. And I did. And I did some fundraising for the family. And as time went by and I became the person the mom called to talk about things with, and I realized that there might be a need for it. So she actually asked me if I would be her girl's fairy godmother, which is where the name Fairy Godmother Project comes from.
Okay. That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. Yeah. So, and then I surveyed all the families I could find that had faced pediatric cancer, and all, with the exception of one, said the exact same thing, that in the beginning people rally around and then disappear, that they, you know, people say, oh, well, let me know if you need anything, and they just can't get their head around what that would be.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, well, let's try this out. And a very good friend of mine, Stephanie Johnson, who is a professional photographer, and you know Stephanie.
I do, yes. I met her over at Chatham.
Yes, you sure did. And she is a very good friend, and she does beautiful work. Her photography is just absolutely beautiful. And she mentioned that that might be a nice component for what I was thinking about with Fairy Godmother Project, that adding that piece would give these families photos to hold on to for a lifetime. And for some of our families, that's invaluable. And so we teamed up and, you know, we got started. And then, interestingly enough, her neighbor's child was diagnosed with leukemia. And so that family became our first official FGP family, even before FGP was official. And we cleaned their house and we helped with yard work and we just kind of did whatever we could. You know, it was very much just friends helping somebody. It wasn't very formalized. And that was in 2011, I guess? Yeah. And then as time's gone by, in 2012, we became official. I applied for nonprofit status, and here we are.
Well, it's so needed in this area because we talked before that when I dealt – my family dealt with this – there was special love, and there were an ask.
Wonderful
special
organizations,
loves, yeah, terrific. But special loves up in Winchester, mm-hmm. and ask is in Richmond, and do great things. But there hasn't been a lot here, and
right.
that's what's kind of exciting about
mm-hmm.
this.
It is, and families here face something very different than someone that's up in D.C. or Richmond. There's travel. There isn't any place here to get treatment, so they're all traveling. There's added stressors with travel. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about 95 is a bear, and it's very difficult. Fortunately, you know, our community is really working on improving some of that. You know, there's no necessarily pediatric cancer treatment in the future or near future, but Mary Washington Healthcare's Regional Cancer Center, I worked last year on a committee with them, and they're now offering port flushes for the families, blood draws, so that the families don't have to drive all that way just for a simple procedure, which is just amazing. I mean, they have been phenomenal, and they really want to see what more they can do for the pediatric cancer community.
Yeah, because those things, oftentimes you're going in and it's just a short procedure.
Absolutely.
But if you're having to take time off from work, mm-hmm. or just the stress and the wear and tear on the child.
Absolutely.
To have to make that trip.
Absolutely. And one of our boys, who's hilarious, he's a teenager, and he goes to the Regional Cancer Center sometimes for some things. And I went and sat with him and his mom one day and to chat. And he said that he was so relieved by the fact that he didn't have to wait, because sometimes he'd wait for hours.
Yeah.
At, you know, the clinic where he goes, hours and hours and hours. And he said his doctor clearly isn't a morning person, is what he said to me. So, but at the Regional Cancer Center, they get them right in immediately, and they don't make them wait, and it's just a much easier process for them.
You have mentioned a couple of times and about sitting with families,
mm-hmm.
and just how important that is sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
you might not even think it, but those are long hours sometimes. Mm-hmm. And just to be able to talk to somebody and either laugh or cry, mm-hmm. or just talk
whatever
about the weather.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we always had some issues like our liability insurance, like, well, you can't have volunteers, you know, like all these things. And then yeah. we worked through it, and we do have the ability for volunteers to go into the home and spend time with the parents. And, you know, we do coffee dates, 25-30 espresso. She donates each year a certain amount of money so our moms can go in there and have coffee dates with their lead volunteer or with me. And I spend a lot of time with our families, a great deal of time. And I feel like that really impacts our organization because I don't lose sight of what we're doing.
Andy McConnell here. It's the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. Tomorrow is the community give. And you're involved. And this is a chance if someone's thinking about who they'd like to give to locally, you could... You would accept any donations.
Oh, we sure would. Absolutely. It's an amazing day. Last year was one of the most exciting days. It really was so exciting all day long just to watch those numbers on the leaderboard go up, 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 up. And this year we're really hopeful about some of the small but mighty prizes, which are small but mighty means one full-time employee or less, and there's certain hours throughout the day, and the organization that gets the most donations during that time gets a $1,000 donation. So there's an opportunity for us as an organization to get $4,000 additional to what's donated by our supporters. So that's really our big push and our hope.
And how huge would something like that be?
Oh, it'd be so great. It really, really would be great. Last year we didn't win any prizes, and I was a little discouraged. But this year we're going into it already having won the Perfect the Pitch, which was offered. It was about 2 weeks ago done by Story Collaborative and the Insurance Smith. And what it was each organization was able to present a 3-minute video or whatever they wanted, really, piece about telling their story. And then that was looked at and judged along with what our outreach was on social media. And so our outreach was pretty good, and we came in first place, which is really exciting.
Well, I was first introduced to you through Jennifer Reynolds.
Yes, I love her.
I got an email one morning, and she said... There's this great organization, and I think you'd be interested in it, and they're looking to take some pictures.
Yes, and you agreed to wear a tutu.
Yeah.
So we reached out to a whole bunch of different people in the community, and that has been our big social media push for the Give. Is all these people in our community support us, and it was so much fun. I mean, we have people in wings, we have people in tutus holding wands, all different things.
Yeah.
So that can be found on our web. We have a video of it. It can be found on our website.
Now, and who you got to do it, I saw, the day I did it, I think I just missed seeing running into Bill Freeling doing it.
Yes, Bill Freeling.
But I saw that you were up in Stafford and got Gary Snellings. I saw Anthony Romanello.
Yeah, and Scott Majowski.
Yeah,
we got quite a few people. Yeah, and there's still more that we'll reveal today, too, because we had a couple of last-minute people that we're adding on.
So you've got a lot of people in your corner and excited about this, and you've got them, you know, kind of clued into the community give.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that I spoke to someone the other day about was this day is so huge, and I realize not everyone's passion is Fairy Godmother Project. I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone feels power. You know what I feel for pediatric cancer, but whatever the passion is, whatever it is, make a donation because it's so powerful. It's one of those days where you see the good in our community. I mean, last year was amazing. And it wasn't just about, you know, we did really well. We raised over $5,000, which was a huge thing for us. But watching the way that our community really came together was really, really powerful. It's one of those days where you go, wow, there's so much good in the world.
Yeah. No, and what's exciting for any of the organizations, just and you think of the timing, because we're coming into the time of the year where all nonprofits talk about things get slow in the summer, and, you know, it's slow this time of year because of people and activities,
right.
And this gives you a nice push into the summer months.
Absolutely. And, yeah, that's exactly right. It's a great way to do it for just the 24 hours. It's really pretty powerful.
And I may hear this interview this morning and think, I'd like to give them $20.
Right.
And you think, yeah, what's that going to do? But come tomorrow, if...
It does a lot.
Yeah, a couple hundred of us...
Absolutely.
Say that all
it's
of a sudden.
It's so true. It suddenly is huge. And the way that, you know, the minimum donation is $10. And then for any, they consider a unique donation, which means different individual making the donation, is $25 or more. And so, I mean, we have 3,400 followers on Facebook. if, you know, gosh, if they all donated $25,
yeah,
you know, we wouldn't have to fundraise the whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, truly.
And that's a huge thing to, mm-hmm. to be able to have this, because I'm sure as we talk about different things you do, you'd like to double and triple what you do.
Absolutely. And last year we were fortunate. We were able to add a financial relief fund for our families because they needed it. You know, sometimes they get so overwhelmed with bills. So we paid bills directly for them two different times a year. And just being able to add these little things, like we're adding on, I mentioned before, the bereavement program. And it won't just be bereavement. It'll also be end of life support. And so that's not something that's, you know, been budgeted for this year because it's a new program. So last week, someone donated to start what we're calling the Lily Fund in honor of a little girl named Lily Noakes, who was amazing and lost her battle on January 23rd after about 6 years of battling cancer. Well, mm-hmm. 5.5, 6 years. And so we are starting this fund to support families like hers.
We will get into that and talk about that when we come back. But again, tomorrow is the Community Give. And if you have an interest and a heart for pediatric cancer, the Fairy Godmother Project is right here and doing lots of good things. So we'll talk about the Community Give before we get out of here again this morning. But again, it's tomorrow, and it's the Fairy Godmother Project. Andy McConnell here talking about it. When we come back, we'll talk about just the shock and what families who deal with pediatric cancer deal with at the beginning and right on through. When we come back on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, it's now 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
From the Weather Channel.
You're listening to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Voice it now on Facebook. Search News Talk 1230 WFVA and place your comments now. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here. It's the Fairy Godmother Project is our focus this morning. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. Andy, you have to be dealing with, you deal with people, and sometimes it's just the worst part of their lives mm-hmm. because you never expect this, not for a child anyway. Right. And it just, I mean, I know firsthand, it just comes as such a shock.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. You know, one of the things that people always say is the moment when parents hear your child has cancer is so mind-blowing and life-changing. And there becomes a very much a before and an after.
Oh, yeah.
And forever, you know, and I thought a lot about when I talked to you the other day and how you mentioned you still remember the exact date and everything. I mean, those things mm-hmm. stick with our families.
December 5th.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how and it's been, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. And still that date is so powerful for you. And I'm sure every year you think about
it. I can tell you the weather of that day. Mm-hmm. I can everything.
Right.
Just everything. And just it's sitting up in the doctor at MCV, his office. And when he said, mm-hmm. your son has cancer, children die from cancer. Ugh. We're going to try to get around that. And I just remember sitting and looking out and seeing the backdrop of the city of Richmond and just thinking, this can't be happening. Get me out of here.
Absolutely. And I'm sure every family feels that way. And every family reacts differently. And, you know, that's the thing that's really been interesting for me. It's eye-opening to watch. But we certainly do come to the families at a time that's very, very difficult and really try to alleviate that stress and some of the emotional pain that they're in. I always say to our volunteers, if we can shed a little bit of light into their darkness, then we've done our job. And you said it was the darkest days. I know you said that, you know, because it is. I mean, you're looking at they are facing the possibility of their child dying. And that is just absolutely brutal.
And you're thinking of things and dealing with things, like you say, that you never expected. And then on top of it, real suddenly, you're starting to hear about the types of treatment and different drug names that you've never heard of and can't pronounce. And what really got me one of the times was sitting with my son as he was getting chemo and looking at the bag and it's saying, you know, do not dispose of in landfills.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I've talked to moms about it who have kids that are still in diapers. Well, they have to wear gloves to change their child's diaper because the chemo is so toxic. And you think about that and, you know, that there's a real weighing there. They think, gosh, here I am putting this into my child's body, but I have to put this into my child's body.
Yep.
And it's just it's such a complicated time for them, so very complicated. And we kind of were talking about darkest of days, and I did want to talk a little bit about, I mentioned to you, an experience that I had recently with one of our families. One of our families actually asked me to go with them to an appointment after they had been removed from a study, which is something that happens a lot to our families. You know, if the child starts to have tumor growth, they're removed from the study, and then they're sort of looking at all these options or no options. And I went with the family, and during the course of the appointment, they were told there was nothing left that could be done for their child. So being there and seeing that was very powerful for me as an individual. I mean, witnessing something like that, watching what it's like to be a parent and face that is beyond description. But then to imagine what it must be like to be them actually facing it. It's one thing to be the fly on the wall.
Sure.
It's another thing to actually be in that moment. And over the course of from September until January, I spent a great deal of time with this family and really got to see what it looked like to see, face the end of life for a child. And the mom and I are very close friends. And she said to me, I want you here. I want you to see this. Because she wanted it to shift Fairy Godmother Project. She wanted us to understand what it really looks like to face this. And her daughter was, she and I have had some funny conversations about her daughter because someone said, oh, she was just the sweetest thing. And her mom said, and then she and I talked about it. No, she wasn't. Like, let's not make her who she wasn't. She was sassy and she was smart and she was, I mean, she was one of the funniest kids I've ever met in my life. She did not mess around. If she didn't want you to do something, she let you know. She did not, I mean, she was amazing. So I got to know her over the course of those months and really, you know, grew to love this little girl and her family. And when we started, when she asked me if I would come to the hospice intake meeting that they were having, and that was really an interesting experience. A lot of people say to me, I don't know how you do that, how you can do what you're doing. I did once say to someone, I don't know how you can't, and that did not go over well. It wasn't very nice, but, you know, I don't know how I do it. I do it because it's not my grief. It's not my sadness, and I just keep a reminder of that, that no matter how sad I feel or our volunteers feel, and they all kind of keep that in their head. It's nothing compared to what our families see and face. So I spent a great deal of time there, sort of as truly like a fly on the wall. I was just sort of sitting in the room observing, and I witnessed grief like nothing you've ever seen before. And they say with great love comes great grief, and no doubt I witnessed that firsthand. But I also realized that our community is lacking in a few ways, you know, and there are little voids that could be filled, and there's no reason why FGP can't be the one to fill them. So one of the things is pediatric hospice. There's not a lot of need for pediatric hospice, and the group that they used was very honest with that. They said, we just don't really have that necessarily that infrastructure. We don't have a lot of volunteers. So we provided volunteers. So sort of the experience has shaped what our programming will become. We're going to start providing a lot more support during that time frame. We'll be doing errands for our families. We'll be doing grocery shopping for them, you know, trying to give them as much time at home with the child as the child is facing the end of life. And then after the fact, we're putting together some kind of exciting things for these families. They all have expressed they really don't want support groups. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who faces it doesn't, but the families we're supporting, they don't. So what we're going to do is outings for them. My hope is that allowing them time together as a group will give them maybe develop some friendships. And then also for the siblings that are left behind, it'll give them some sense of normalcy, that they aren't different. There are other people who have lost a sibling, because that can be pretty lonesome, especially for children who are left behind. And they're an only child now, even though they're not. But, you know, they're the only one at the home now.
And, boy, that the outings is a huge thing because we – and I think it was through Special Love that they provided the opportunity for us to go to a lot of theme parks as a family.
Right.
And it really was fun.
Right.
Especially when John was really into treatment. And just doing that kind of thing was fun, and it kind of got your mind off of
things. Right, just to get away from it a little bit. And I have a board, a cancer parent advisory board, so they help me sort of with any type of new programming. They give me a lot of input, and the bulk of them are families that have lost a child, and they all felt that this would be really beneficial to them, but they, you know, So we are trying to do the first thing. We got our first donation specifically for this last week from a couple who is actually friends with the Noakes family, the little girl Lily, her family.
Yeah.
And so they made a donation of $1,000. So I hadn't even deposited the check, and I was already planning the first outing. So we're thinking bowling for the first one. I've been talking to the YMCA. They're going to give us some water park passes so the families can all go together. Just trying to give them some things, because what happens is everything kind of cuts off after a point, you know, and even after treatment, it's the same thing. Even if the child survives, you only get support for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that there isn't still a need for support, especially emotional support. So if we, you know, as an organization, we sort of do that. We stay in touch with our families if they're open to it. And we, you know, often when we have events, the families come. But kind of providing that as part of our programming makes certain that it will continue on no matter what. So.
And again, that is a huge need, because it changes your family, mm-hmm. and emotionally you. And even after treatment ends and everyone wants to just go on with life as normal, sometimes you can't, because their stamina is
yes.
for years is never what it was.
Absolutely. And there's long-term effects of the treatment that sometimes are pretty extreme. I mean, we actually have a family right now whose child is facing a secondary cancer caused by the treatment. And so there's always that worry, you know, that like you were saying earlier, like, suddenly your son says, oh, I'm tired, and there's this panic. Like,
oh, it does.
My gosh.
You freeze up. I know. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, you did the glances of,
right.
you know,
why
what that
tired?
Means.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then that worry that the cancer is going to come back, or the long term, I mean, there can be developmental delays. Mm-hmm. There can be all kinds of things because of the treatment. And so it does shift the family, completely changes the dynamic, completely.
Well, and to have an organization like Fairy Godmother Project here, because I know in our case, we had friends, and our church was incredibly supportive.
Mm-hmm.
But still, to have someone like this, because that was all volunteers, and, mm-hmm. and people just would step in when they saw a need. But to have the Fairy Godmother Project, where you've got a plan,
right.
and you can always know that you can depend on,
right.
on what
these
you've
are the
got.
Things. Exactly. The families know, they get gas cards. They get, you know, it's not like just when someone feels like it.
Yes.
It's on a scheduled thing. And that's one of the things I sort of pride myself on about FGP, is that we stick with them. It isn't just at the beginning or just during a crisis. We're with them the whole time. So the moment we meet them until either end of treatment or end of life, we're there. And every month they're getting the support that they know they can count on. And I mean, we have a family actually who was considering moving to outside of DC, but they would have been out of our service area. And she said they actually have decided to stay put because we have been what has kept them going for the last year. And her daughter has another 2.5 years. And she said, I can't move away from Fairy Godmother Project. And when she told me that, I thought, wow,
yeah.
how powerful is that? You know, that's the impact we're having.
Yeah. So you mentioned a service area.
Mm-hmm. We support families in Fredericksburg City, Stafford County, Spotsylvania, Caroline, and Louisa.
Okay.
And King George. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty much. So Planning District 16.
Yes.
For as far as government goes.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd mentioned that you've been very careful to make sure you're not duplicating other
really
projects,
important.
Other things.
Absolutely. I tried to research, even with the bereavement support, I actually spent a lot of time. I met with local hospice organizations. I met with funeral directors. And then just did a lot of research. I mean, as much research as I could find to make sure, because there's no point in doing it. If it's already being offered in our community, why waste our resources? So instead, I'd much prefer to have our resources go to something that's new or different, but that there is a void. And I think that's really important. I mean, I even did that before I started Fairy Godmother Project. I really wanted to make sure that it made sense to start it, because why duplicate?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, there must be a lot of highs and lows, even though you talk about, you know, keeping your distance and understanding mm-hmm. where you are kind of in the food chain of things.
Yes.
But still, it has to be just natural.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I seldom get to know the children all that well. It's sort of been, I think in some ways it's like my own defense, you know, like emotionally, but I always get to know the parents pretty well. And it is highs and lows, but I always just remind myself and the volunteers that whatever we feel is hard, but we will eventually overcome it. I mean, the reality is any parent who loses a child They never get over it. It's forever. And that's another thing that I've learned, too, is the value of, you know, so if you know someone whose child has passed, say their name, you're not going to suddenly make them think of that child. They've been thinking of that child, even if it's been 20 years. It doesn't matter how long. It's been a month. They would rather you bring them up so they know that you miss them, too. Because then at least they don't feel like it was for nothing.
Or I'm the only one who's thinking of this. You still remember him or her.
Absolutely. So I always try and remember that and remind other people to do that. You know, one of the things I said about Lily is tell a story about her. Talk about her. Don't let this be the end. Because for her parents, it's not. And it shouldn't have to be. Because she has made a difference. And all the children have. But it's about talking about them and saying their name. I always say that. Just say their name. You know, but people are afraid to.
And I guess just the closeness that you had with the family and with Lily, you think about and I would think just for the family to see now how Fairy Godmother Project is doing some things because of that.
Absolutely.
It has to make them feel good.
It does. I mean, it's been really powerful for them. And then we did do one of the pieces that we're going to add is like at random act of kindness days, if the parents want them, on the anniversary of their child's death. And we did that in the fall for one of our families. And it was an amazing day. We got these little cards. We got about 1,000 of them, and then people could request if they wanted them. And I mean, we sent out, I can't even tell you, we just sent them out, and then we didn't have any left, so we were sending them via email to people. So thousands of people were impacted by this little girl named Jordan. And her mom said they spent the entire day on social media watching, because the pound, you know, it was like hashtag honor Jordan. So she watched that all day long, and it was such a great way for her to spend the day 1 year after her daughter died. And so if we can do that for our families, then we should, you know. Wow. It's very simple.
Well, it's great to have Fairy Godmother Project in this area, because I know, speaking firsthand, that it's needed. How many families are there in this area that are dealing with pediatric cancer, or at least that you're dealing with?
Well, right now we're supporting, we have 14 families, but it varies. And then also after, like, our bereavement program, we'll be supporting about 5. So that's almost 20 families total. It, you know, it's up and down. We always seem to be right around 10. Like, it goes back and forth, you know. It just varies from time to time. And it's hard sometimes to get the word out, because we went through a phase where I didn't want to be putting it out there, because we didn't have the financial resources. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the volunteer support. So I wanted to be smart about it. So now, most of the time, it was just word of mouth. Now, though, we have connections directly with the clinic down at MCV. And as soon as I hear of a family in our community that's down there, I email her, my point of contact down there, or she emails me. So that's very helpful. DC, we don't have quite the same kind of, you know, quick process to get information from them. But I'm always working on that, too, to try and get as many families as we can.
Andy McConnell here. It is the Fairy Godmother Project, fairygodmotherproject.org on the web, or you can check out their Facebook page. More coming up on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here. We're talking about the Fairy Godmother Project. Only been around a few years in this area, but I just can't imagine that the impact that you've had, and you continue to think as you continue to grow, then more and more families are able to participate in what you offer.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope the word gets out, and hopefully if, you know, anyone hears about us, they tell a family about it. And sometimes families are a little bit reluctant to take help at first, which is, I think, human nature. And sometimes we have to just convince them.
Oh, it is. And that was me, because I felt like we can do this. Mm-hmm. And I had someone say to me, who was a close friend, that people want to help, and you've got to give them opportunities to help
you.
And
that's so true. And I actually say that all the time about when, like, we were helping the family that lost their daughter in January. We helped with a lot of the stuff for the service. And I kept saying, like, I need to give these people things to do, because it makes you feel like you're making a difference in some way. And it's really important to people, whether it's making, you know, helping with picture boards, whatever it is, that people, they wanted to help. They needed jobs. And that's sort of what I try and do for our volunteers, is give them something that they're good at and they can do.
Well, and you mentioned last year how the community give, it helped you, it gave you funds that you were able to expand. And you just think, hopefully that happens tomorrow.
Yes, I hope so. I'm very hopeful. I'm hopeful that it'll be a very good day for us. Especially, like I said earlier, the small but mighty. So can I tell the times of those?
Yeah, go
just
ahead.
In case?
Sure.
Okay. So starting from midnight to 1 is the first hour that counts for that. And then the next one is from 6 to 8 in the morning. So right before you start listening to the show tomorrow.
Thank you.
You can make a donation. And then, and even if it's not, you know, I mean, well, I don't really want to say that. But even, no matter what organization, if you have one that's small that you know wants to, that's trying for the small but mighty, these are the times. And yep. Then 4 to 5, and then tomorrow night from 9 to 11. So before you go to bed, make that last donation of $25.
Will you get any kind of sleep tomorrow, or will you be watching the leaderboard?
I think I'll be watching. I'm so excited. I couldn't sleep this morning, and I thought, geez, I've got another 18 hours. I need to get a grip here. I think I will definitely stay up until kind of late. I did last year. I was actually at my sister's last year in Pensacola, Florida. So I was an hour different. So that was very good because then okay. I wasn't staying up too late.
Yeah.
And I was in an airplane and bought Wi-Fi. And that's how I did all the social media last year, was through the Wi-Fi in the plane. So this year will be a lot better. So, yeah, we're planning for big things. Oh, and a couple things. Tomorrow, if you can prove that you donated to FGP, you can get 10% off your lunch at La Rosetta downtown, or at Castilla's all day long. You can get from the time they open until 10 p.m. 10% off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just show your receipt and you're all set.
Well, for anyone who has any kind of contact, whether it's something that you've seen firsthand mm-hmm. or you've had friends, if you check out both the Facebook page and the website for Fairy Godmother Project, it really is it's moving, and for me it brought back a lot of memories.
Oh, sorry.
but it was good. But it was exciting to see that it was here.
Okay,
that what you're doing and what you're offering. I just thought a lot of people won't have to go through things that people right. 15 years ago or before yep. had to do around here where there wasn't anything.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we're trying for sure to make a difference.
So again, it's fairygodmotherproject.org is the website, or you can go to the Facebook page mm-hmm. and like the Facebook page, because
yes.
a lot of good information that
there
you provide.
Is, absolutely.
And again, tomorrow is the community give, and you're hoping, I'm sure, to exceed last year's, and you just think
yeah.
of, if
Our
you
goal
do that,
is
what 10, would you get to do? Okay.
And but I'm now I sort of feel like maybe it should be higher. So, you know, yeah. So we have matching the first $3,000. We have a match for the first $3,000. So that's amazing.
Okay.
And then we already have the $2,400 from the Perfect the Pitch.
Well, if you're giving tomorrow, and we hope you are, consider the Fairy Godmother Project. Andy McConnell, great to have you here
this
morning.
Thank you.
We'll stay
really
in touch.
Fun. Thank you.
That's it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.